Recording. Okay, tonight's daf is sponsored by Yosef Rachmani on the occasion of, I assume, the yahrzeit of his grandmother, Batya Bat Yitzchak Zichron Levracha. So learning is Leilui Nishmata. All right, so we're on daf Pei Amud Aleph. So I'll begin. Where are we? Yeah, four lines from the top. So if you remember in yesterday's daf, we discussed if a person is doing shituv mivod, what are the mechanics? In other words, besides the physical mechanics of the lechi, the korah, what are the mechanics to join everybody in shituv mivod? So the Mishnah said that a person, if he wants to, he could take a chavit, a barrel of wine, and be mezaka all the people who are, you know, all the people in the chatzay road. And then we learned in the Gemara, so Amar Yehuda Chavit Shal Shituv Mavot, Tzarich Lagbiyam in a Karka Tefach. He's got to lift it off the Karka, off the ground. Let me just let everybody in. He's got to lift it off the ground, one Tefach. And again, he's going to do like a Kinyan, so he's got to have somebody who's going to accept it on behalf of everybody else. So we're on the fourth line on Pei Amud Aleph, ADA. So Meitvei, we ask a caution this from the following brisa. The brisa is kesef mishtafim b'mavui. How do we join together in a mavui? So mavim chavit shel yayin. You bring a barrel of wine, v'shel shemen or oil, v'shel tamarim or dates, v'shel grogrot or dried figs, v'shar minei peirot or other fruit. Imi shelo tzirich lezakot. So if, in other words, the person is doing it on behalf of everybody, but he's being generous. I'm bringing enough food for the shituvah mavod. So he's got to go through the process that we just described in the Mishnah, and he says v'im mishalahen tzirich lahodia. And if he's taking their food, he's got to notify them that he took some of their food, and because they have to sign off on it, he says umagbiyam in a karka mashu. He lifts it off the karka a mashu. So the brisa doesn't say a tefach; it just says a mashu. So that's the kasha. So the Gemara says my mashu nami dekamar tefach. So the Gemara says, what does mashu mean? Mashu means a tefach. So it's no stira. All right. Now, if you remember, we said, though, the people who were here last night, we said for the Kinyan Hagbah, it might be like three tefachim. It's just here by Shituf Mavod is one tefach. Remember, we had that in Tosfos. And, you know, I went through Aaron Moshe. You weren't here, Aaron Moshe? You weren't here last night. I went through the Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah. It talks about what's an Asherah.
Yeah,
maybe I'll go over it again later. Okay, right now in the middle of Daf. But we'll see where this goes, okay? So now I'm going to continue on in the Gemara. We're 10 lines. Well, you're okay? Any questions, comments, or thoughts? What's up?
Yeah, yesterday, and I forgot in what context, you made a comparison between this Eruv and the Eruv Tafshilin. Was it that the Eruv was being done for the whole community? I forgot what the comparison you made was.
I don't remember what the comparison I made was either.
Do you remember mentioning it?
No. One second.
Think you did.
One second.
Anybody?
One second. Well,
what was the question? I missed it.
That last night.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy.
I remember what I was saying is like you're mezakeh on behalf of all the people. So I said when you do an Eruve Tafshilin, you're also mezakeh on behalf of all the people. So,
but you don't have to put up any.
No. In other words, It will come up later in the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to bring it up again later. Okay, so we'll come to it a little bit. Okay, all right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right. So now we're 10 lines below the top on Pei Amud Aleph. Everybody should be muted. Okay. So Yosef, you need to mute yourself. Okay. So the Gemara says Itmar. So we say to Shitufa Mavoot Rav Amar Ein Sirich Lazakot. So Rav holds not like our Mishnah. Rav holds you don't have to be. Do the formalities of zikui. I don't have to have, you know, an adult take it and lift it off the ground. Tefach ushmul amar tzirich lezakot eruvi tchumen. Now, when it comes to eruvi tchumen, this is when I want to be able to walk 2,000 amot, you know, in a place different maybe than where I'm at right now, and I'm putting it down. So you say eruvi tchumen rav amar tzirich lezakot. Now, this is referring to the Mishnah on Pei Beis, which is Friday's daf. So the Mishnah says, let's say a person wants to do a Ruvi Tchumen on behalf of a whole community. So he doesn't have to be Mizakeh. So a Ruvi Tchumen, Rav Amar Tzirich Lezakot. There, Rav holds he does have to be Mizakeh. He does got to go through all the formalities. Ushmul Amar Ein Tzirich Lezakot. You don't have to. So the Gemara says, "B'shleim of the Shmuel hachatanan b'hachlo tanan." So Shmuel Shita is easy to follow. He just tracks what the Mishnayot say. Our Mishnah discusses shitufei mavoot, but by extension, a ruve chatzerot, and it says you have to be mezake if you want to do it for other people. So Shmuel says that easy to be mezake, and then the Mishnah on Pei Beis, which refers to making an Eruvit Human for the community, doesn't say you have to be Mizaka. So he says, you don't have to do the formalities with that. He says, El Rav, my Tama. But a Rav, why does he hold Punk Fakir? Why does he hold each one Punk Fakir? So the Gemara is going to say Tanai. The Gemara is going to say it's Machloket Tanayim. So by the Eruvit Human, it's Machloket Tanayim, whether I need to go through the formalities. And then Rav, like the Gemara Rashi brings down, The Gemara says in many places, Rav Tanahu Palig. Rav counts as a Tana, and he could be Cholek on a Mishnah. He could be Cholek on a Mishnah. Now, the Tosos over here, Dibor Machli, Rav Amar, and Srik Lazakod. So Tosos goes for some explanations of Shmuel. We'll just do maybe the first two. If you look on the third wide line, he says, "With Shmuel, the mavui sirch lezakod by a mavui, I have to, in other words, by shitufi mavod, I have to be mizake to the mikne reshudhu the ksavar erev mishum kinyan beperek mishotziu." There he holds it's like an actual kinyan. In other words, like everybody's acquiring, you know, I guess a portion in the mavui, and there's a legal transaction taking place. That's one idea he has. And then another idea that Tosos has for Shmuel, it's the fourth narrow line. Inami came into Imarvin, a Rubit Chumen, El Dvar Mitzvah, Mishum Mitzvah Gamor Makne. In other words, conversely, by the Eruvit Chumen, he assumes you only make an Eruvit Chumen because you're doing a mitzvah. So in other words, the idea is the Kinyan is like for Gemiras Das. The Kinyan assumes like everybody is like got intention to do something. But by Eruvit Chumen, it's to do a mitzvah, to facilitate a mitzvah. So we assume everybody's on the page. Everybody wants to do mitzvot. So I don't need to go through all the formalities of it. That's another idea that Tosfos has. All right, I'm going to go further to the Gemara, and then I'll pause in a little bit. Any event, so the bottom line, we said, so the issue is we have Shituvim Mavot, and by analogy, Eruvei Chatzerot. So our Mishnah says, you have to, if you want to be mizake for people, and with people aren't bringing their own food, I'm going to give the food on behalf of the whole chatzer. I'm going to say with the Rubei Chatzero instead of the Mavui. So the whole chatzer, I have to be mizake. So I get an adult and I lift it up and I say, I want you to acquire this on behalf of all the people in the chatzer. Okay, that's for a Rubei Chatzero. And then for a Rubei Tchumen, if I want to do it to change Tchum for a whole community, so the next mission says, I don't need to go through that formality. I say, I'm just, this Eruvit Chumen I'm putting down is for everybody in the community, and then that's adequate, okay? So, but I don't have to go through the formalities of Hagbah and another person holding on to it, okay? That's the way it's coming out. So now, so we said that Rav holds the opposite on each one, and so we said it's a Machloket Tanaim. So let's see back in the Gemara. It's around 10 lines down, 15 lines down. So, Ma'itama Tanahi, the Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Ma'ase B'Kalato Shereboshia. There was an incident, again, this is Rav who's saying it. There was an incident with the daughter-in-law Reboshia, Shalchala Beit HaMerechatz. She went on a Friday afternoon to the bathhouse, and the bathhouse was outside her tchum. So, if she doesn't have a Rub Tchumin, she can't get home tonight. That's what's happening. Let's assume the bathhouse is 3,000 amot from her home. So you went to Beit HaMerechatz for chashkala, and then late, and she was stuck or whatever. He says the irvala chamota. So before Shabbos, though, her mother-in-law. It's nice to see like a good mother-in-law daughter-in-law relationship. The mother-in-law, thinking of her, had the foresight to you know, to establish an Eruvi Tchumen for her. So if she's going to establish a Tchumen, let's say, 1,000 Amo to the west of the house, and then the daughter-in-law will be able to get home on Shabbos. Uvama said lefnei Rabbi Chiya asar. So the incident came for Rabbi Chiya to Paskin, and he said she can't go home this Shabbos. She can't rely on that Eruvi Tchumen. So Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said Bavloi. He calls him Babylonian because Rabbi Chiya was from Babylonia. He says Kol kach ata machmir be'eruvin. You're so stringent with the dinim of eruvin. Kach amar Abba. This is what my father said. Kol sheish lechala kel be'eruvin akel. Whenever it comes to eruvin, you should be meikil. So we don't know what the issue was, but the issue is going to be whether she had to be formally be mezakeh it. In other words, she didn't go through the formalities of being mezakeh the Eruvei Tchumen. In other words, she's taking the Eruv Tchumen and she wants it for the daughter-in-law, but she didn't lift it up and give it to somebody and see be mezakeh on behalf of my daughter-in-law. She didn't do that. So he said, but we don't know that. Be by Lahum. So we asked, the question was asked in the Beis Medrash, Mishal Chamotat Yirvolo, was it that it was the mother-in-law's food? He says, umishum delo zichtala. And the problem was, that's the issue. Was it the problem because she wasn't mezakeh, which is the way the problem is going to be? So then it came out that there was a machloket then, Rabbi Chiya, you know, he ostered her because there was no formality, didn't do the zikui. And then the other one was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, you're too machmir. O Dilma Mishalat Yirvalo. Or perhaps the mother-in-law had taken the daughter-in-law's food, so she didn't need to be mezakeh, it's her own food. He says, Umishum Dilashlomi Daita, but she did it without the daughter-in-law's knowledge. Maybe that was the issue. So Amar Lahen Hahumi Rabbanan of Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. So one of the Chamim said, and his name is Rabbi Yaakov, Ladidi Mafarshalamine de Rabbi Yochanan, it was personally explained to me by Rabbi Yochanan, Michel Chamota Irva, that she took from the mother-in-law's food, was taken from the mother-in-law's food, Mushum Lo Zichtala. So the issue was that she didn't do a formality. She didn't do the formalities to be mizaka on behalf of the daughter-in-law. That was the whole issue. So she said, this is the Eruv Tchumen my daughter-in-law, but she didn't lift it up and give it to somebody to be mizaka on behalf of the daughter-in-law. So Amalei Reb Zera, Reb Yaakov, Brad Yaakov. So Reb Zera said to Reb Yaakov, who was the son of the daughter of Yaakov. So here Rashi says, where's the Rashi? Rashi says, if you look, it's around midway down in the narrow lines. Brad Bar Yaakov, Aviv lo haya hagun, lefichach lo hizkiro. He says the father wasn't, you know, so upstanding, so they didn't mention him. So I don't know what was doing with the father. You know, sometimes in Shas they have, remember, Barad the Bat Shmuel, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, or the daughters of Shmuel, they were captured, and the non-Jews, you know, had relations with them, and they had children. So the Gemara calls, you know, Barad the Bat Shmuel, I think, the son of the daughter of Shmuel. So here's Barad the Bat Yaakov. So he says, Kimatid Hatam, when you get to a certain location, I want you to akib vizil the sulma desur. I want you to go, you know, go around and go to sulma desur. Is like this. We've had this before. It's like the, you know, the cliffs, the sharp heights of sur of Tyre. Ubay mine me Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi. I want you to ask Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi exactly what took place in this incident. So he eventually did that. Ubay mine, and he says, he asked them, Mishal Chamota Yirva, was it from the mother-in-law's food, Mishum Lo Zichtala, and she wasn't Mizakta her, was that the issue? Until Mishla Yirva, or perhaps the food was the daughter-in-law's food, Mishum Lo Shlomi Daita, but she didn't do with the daughter-in-law's knowledge of it. So Amarle, Mishal Chamota Yirva, Mishum Lo Zichtala. So he says, in Achinami, it was from the mother-in-law, and they weren't Mizakta her, and that was the issue. So the point that's coming out then, and again, this is talking about Eruvei Tchumen. So the next Mishnah has about Eruvei Tchumen, and the next Mishnah doesn't mention about the formalities of being mezakeh. And yet here you see this machloket, whether you have to be mezakeh. So the way they had in the art scroll is that there's different ways to understand the next Mishnah. It could be the time of the next Mishnah doesn't mention the formalities being mezakeh, because he's relying on our Mishnah, which is talking about the formalities by Shitufei Mevo'ot. And he may hold that you do need to do Zikui. So that we could say there's a Tana who holds that way, and Rav holds like that Tana. So that's that Tana. And then as far as Shitufei Mevo'ot and Rubi Chatzera are concerned, then Rashi says that Rav Tana Hu Pali. Rav is a Tana, and he can be cholik with the Mishnah. So again, Rav held just the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel held that by Eruvi Chatzeirot, I need the formalities of being Mezakeh, and by Eruvi Tchumen, I don't need those formalities. And Rav held just the opposite. Let me just do a few more lines, and I'll pause. So the Gemara says on line 4, the fourth wide line on Peyamid Aleph, ADA, the fourth very wide line, Amar Rav Nachman, Nektinan, Rav Nachman says, our Mesorah is Echadi Rubi Tchumin, Bechadi Rubi Chatzerot, Echad Shitufi Mevo'ot. So here he's mentioning Erubi Tchumin. Now, with Erubi Chatzerot, the Bach takes it out because it's like Shitufi Mevo'ot. We assume they're the same thing, but the Mishnah mentions Shitufi Mevo'ot. He says, Sarich Lezako. So Rav Nachman says, our Mesorah is the Chumras of both. So in other words, we're going to do like the Chumras of Rav and the Chumras of Shmuel. So I'm going to require the formalities of Zikui by Erubi Chatzerot, and I require the formalities of Zikui by Erubi Tchumin. Okay, and we're going to get to Eruve too. I'll show you in a little bit. Let me pause for 1 second. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
What? Okay, first, let me get Yosef, Robert, then Fern. Okay, Yosef, what's up?
Okay, for Erev Techumim, besides being Mizake, don't you have to tell the person, listen, I'm changing your Techum? What if he doesn't want to go that way?
Yeah, I assume it's, again, so if you look at the Mishnah on Pei Beis, I assume that the person...
it's not just a benefit. You're hurting him from the other side.
No. Clearly, right. So I assume that the person is happy with it, and he may know about it, but you didn't do the Zikui. That's what I assume is the take. Because if you look at the next Mishnah on Pei Beis, not the next Mishnah, but on the first Mishnah, the next Perek, it says, Kei said Mishtafim B'tchumin, Miniach Rechav, V'omer Harizel Chol B'nei Iri, L'chol Mishil Chabeta Avel, or Chabeta Mishteh. In other words, it sounds like it's a situation where everybody's on the same page and they want it. Like they want to go to a wedding banquet, they want to go to the house of mourning, and so, that's the way it sounds like.
But the knowledge is given. It has to be a given.
The guy was basket.
Yeah, that's the way it sounds like. That's the way it sounds like.
It sounds like the mother-in-law was a shaliach. And if she was a shaliach to do the Erev Tchumen, why couldn't she have been the shaliach in terms of to be mezakeh, the item, the food item?
No. Again, so it means if she's taking her own food, which is the case with Zikui, so she's taking her own food. So, but, and for it to work for a Erev Tchumen, she's got to be mezakeh that the food now belongs to the daughter-in-law. So to transfer.
But what about a presumed zikui?
No. In other words, like this: if you require zikui, so you have to observe the formalities of it. That's the idea. So for the formalities, in other words, like if I want somebody else to acquire it, I have to say, you know, I have to give it to, if it's my property. Let's say, you know, I have a diamond ring. And I want to give it to somebody. So I can't lift it up and say, this diamond ring now belongs to Plony. I have to give it to somebody. I say, I want you to lift it because I own it already and I'm lifting it up doesn't do anything.
The other one needs to do the case.
So I give it to Reuven. I say, Reuven, lift this up and acquire it on behalf of, you know, X, Y, and Z. That's what happened with the mother-in-law. She's taking her own mother-in-law's food, and she wants the daughter-in-law to have the food. So somebody else has to be mezakeh on her behalf. Okay, Robert, what did you want?
All right, so maybe you just answered my question. What is the physical act of conferring possession?
Right. In other words, it's transferring the title. In other words, it's a transfer of title.
No, but do I have to verbally say it? Do I have to physically deliver the item? What do I do?
Again,
it depends on the item.
So that's what we discussed. It's in the Mishnah from yesterday and today. In other words, I'm taking the object and I'm saying to somebody, I want you to, let's say if it's Shitufa Mavod, I want you to acquire this on behalf of all the people who are using this Mavoi. So and then I lift it up.
So like yesterday was a thing about lifting it up.
Lifting it up and giving it over to someone. right? That's
so just verbally saying I'm giving it to you isn't enough.
No, right. That's correct.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Okay, everybody.
So when it, yeah, my question, when is the term shitufe mevo'ot used and eruv
chatzerot?
What's the distinction? There must be something going on.
No. Remember, if there's a chatzer, the people right. live in chatzerot, they share the chatzer. So if we want to permit people to carry in the chatzer from their homes to the chatzer to the homes, then we do eruv chatzerot.
Right.
Then all the chatzerot, I have chatzer A, B, C, D, and E, they all surround a mavui. They surround an alleyway. And remember, and then the alleyway, if it's a closed alleyway, it has one entrance, and then I have the lechi, the korah, the entrance, the way mm-hmm. the mavui. Then I want, in order to do that, I have to say everybody in all the chatzerot are joining to permit carrying in the mavui.
So why did you say it was the same thing?
I'm saying conceptually, in other words, it's like halachically,
or
halachically significantly similar. There are some differences, but it's basically the same.
I didn't understand. Okay.
Okay. Everybody good now? Okay. So let me move on. All right. Everybody mute themselves. All right. So now we're on Peyam and Aleph.
Rabbi, we use this mizake thing when you want to give a gift on Shabbat to somebody, correct?
Before Shabbat, correct. Okay, now let's see. We're on the fifth very wide line. Okay, now here's the question, Fern. Here's your question. You see, everything comes to he who waits or she who waits. Okay, so the Gemara says, "By Rav Nachman, a ruvi tefshilin tzrich lezakot or in tzrich lezakot." Let's say I want to do a ruvi tefshilin on behalf of somebody. Do I have to be mizak them? Do I have to go through the formalities or not? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef umayti bailei." Now, the one Rav Nachman is the one who was asking the question. So he said, "What's bothering him?" Lo shmilei had the Amar Rav Nachman bar Rav Ada. So Rav Nachman's in the way, but there's another Rav Nachman. Amar Shmuel eruv tefshilin sarich lezakot. Shmuel says explicitly that you do need to be mizake by the eruv tefshilin. So Amar Le Abaye pshit lo shmilei. So Abaye says, obviously, Rav Nachman had never heard the statement of Shmuel, Tishmele Maitibaila, because if he had heard it, what would his problem have been? So then Rav Nachman said back, So Rav Nachman is one who asked the question, and then Rav Yosef said, didn't he hear what Shmuel said? That Shmuel said Ferish Nidim Zaka. So Abai said he obviously didn't hear it, because had he heard it, there wouldn't have been a question. And then Rav Yosef saying now, Amarle, Atu Ruvi Tchumin, Milo Mar Shmuel in Tzrich Lezakot, but by a Ruvi Tchumin, didn't Shmuel say you don't have to go through the formalities of being Mizaka, but Amar Ihu Tzrich Lezakot? And notwithstanding that, he, the Makshin, Rav Nachman said, you do have to be Mizaka. So the fact that Shmuel said, A, it didn't preclude Rav Nachman from poskening that you do have to be mizake. So maybe the same thing here. So in other words, he had a question, even though Shmuel says you do have to be mizake, he's asking what's halach lemaisa. So Gemara says, hachi hashta, hachi, compare the two cases. B'shleima hatam pligi rabu Shmuel. So by the eruvei tchumen, and we could add the shitufim mevo'ot, the eruvei chatzir as well, it's machloken Rav and Shmuel, v'kamash v'lan, so Rav Nachman was teaching that we follow the chumras of both and we require the formalities of being mizake. About hacha, yit d'shmilei, here, had he heard that Shmuel said that you have to be mizake, mi'ikidaman d'palig, is anybody cholik on that? So obviously he didn't hear of it. So the bottom line again, so I'm coming back to your eruvei tefshilin. You see, with eruvei tchumen, and eruvei chatzer, I don't think people, are often doing eruvei tchumen today. And with eruvei chatzerot, we have it, but people aren't per se involved in establishing the eruvei chatzerot. They have other people handling it on their behalf. But with the eruvei tefshilin, so like sometimes people think, I did the eruvei tefshilin and I said the words, so anybody in the community can rely on my eruv tefshilin. But we see that's not enough, right? In other words, it's not if I say it's lanu l'chol adarim by yir hazot, that doesn't mean anything. I have to be mizaka. So that's why, like the rabbi of the community, he's going to do presumably. Let me just get something. This one second. All right. he presumably is going to do that. But I'm trying to say, like, if you just say the words that are in the sitter, that doesn't mean everybody can rely on your Erev of Tavshilin. You can rely on it, but not anybody else. All right. Everybody good with that? All right. All right. Let me go on.
So is it that the Rav is our shaliach in this regard?
Well, let's go slowly. It means when it comes to Eruv Tavshilin, everybody is required to make their own Eruv Tavshilin.
Correct.
It's just if a person forgot to make the Eruv Tavshilin, so they say they can rely on the Rav who's doing it on behalf of everybody. But sometimes people think, well, like, you can rely on me because I did it on behalf of everybody. But if you didn't do an act of zikui, so nobody can rely on you except for you. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say.
So why is the Rav a special case? He must be the shaliach for everyone.
No. If you're doing zikui, so then you are acting on behalf of everyone without the das, but you are acting on behalf of everyone.
So we each own a little piece of that egg and matzah.
No. It means he's mezakeh us, but it's only mezakeh the people who forget to make the people who forget to
right.
make.
Right, I forgot, so right. now I right. can go take a bite of his egg.
So the Rav does it as a matter of course in any event.
I assume they do.
To cover everybody.
Again,
just
again, only people who forget. If a person knows and he says, "I'm going to rely on the Rav," that doesn't work. Only if they forget. Then they can. And I think it's only if you forget once, they say, like, if none of, like, not a repeat of forgetter. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. So now, let me see what we're up to here. Okay, we're up to Hahu Torzina. Everybody with me? We're around 20 lines down, around 10 lines above from the bottom. Hahu Torzina. Torzina is like two words, Torzina, like the one who guards the weapons. They said like an armory, like this. Apparently, like they have all these weapons, and a non-Jew was in charge of guarding them. Hu Torzina, Dahab Shavutit Rebbe Zeira, was in the neighborhood of Rebbe Zeira. He says, Amrile Ogirlan Rishutach. So apparently, he was one of the people sharing the Chatzer or whatever Rishus was, and he was not Jewish. So he said, we want to lease your rights in this Chatzer. He says, Lo Ogir Lahu. He wasn't apparently compliant. He didn't want to do it. So Atulakamid Reb Zeira, they came for Reb Zeira. So Amrulai, they said to him, Ma'u Lamegar Me Devitu, can we lease from his wife? The wife's an easier going person. Can we lease from the non-Jew's wife? So Amar Lahu, Hachi Amar Rishtak Shmei Degavar Rabu, Ma'u Reb Chanina. So he said, Rishtak said in the name of a great man, that's Reb Chanina, that a man's wife can make an Eruv Shlomi Daito. So it's making means the man's wife can make an Eruve Chatzerot Shlomi Daito, but by extension, the non-Jew's wife can lease the premises Shlomi Daito. That's what we're saying. So if you go to the wife, she's working, that's fine. So and I don't know why they're mentioning exactly what the relate, like how these Torzina people, it sounds like these were the non-Jews living with the Jews or something. I don't know. So he says, so Amrile Ogir Lan Rishutach. They said, lease to us your Rishus. So he says, Lo Ogar Lahu. He didn't do that. Atul Kami to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshia. So they came to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oshia. Amrile Ma'u Lamegar Mi Devitu. Can we lease from his wife? He says, Lo Haba Biyade. He wasn't able to respond. They came for Rav Yehuda. Amar Lahu, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Ishlam Marev Shlomi Daito. All right. So the basic idea is we're saying that a man's wife can act on his behalf to make an Eruv. Okay, Meite. So in this we ask a question. So again, we have this from Rabbi Chanina, and we have it from Shmuel. That Ishul Shama Revit Shlomi Daito. So Meifei, on this we ask a question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Nashim She'irvu V'nishtatfu Shlomi Dat Balehen. If women engage in Shitufei Mevoot or Eruvei Chatzerot without their husband's knowledge, he says, Einin Ravan Eruv, Ein Shitam Shituf. It doesn't work. So the Braisa sounds like it's not like Reb Chanina, not like Shmuel. And Reb Chanina and Shmuel are Moraim. They have a Braisa against them. So now they're, you know, in Kahak Tzuris. So the Gemara says, Lokash, there's no contradiction between the Braisa and the holdings of Reb Chanina and Shmuel. Had to asar, had lo asar, meaning that where the Chachamim said the wife can lease is where their non-participation will be kill the Eruv, kill the Shitufei Mavoot. In other words, if they're indispensable parties, then the wives are allowed to lease on their behalf. In other words, we're looking for ways to make it easier for people to carry on Shabbos. So if the non-Jews' non-participation, we won't be able to carry, the wives can lease it. But in the Braisa, we're talking about where it wasn't necessarily crucial for their participation. How so? So that would be a case, let's say, where you have a bayit that abuts two mavoot, or a chatzer that abuts, in other words, two chatzerot. So let's say you have a bayit, it opens up to chatzer A and chatzer B. So the bayit gets to pick, you know, which chatzer is really part of, or something like that. So then if they're non-participation, wouldn't necessarily kill the Eruvei chatzerot. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. So he says, Lo kasha, had the asor, had lo asor. So hakinami mistabra, that's logical. The im kain, because if it would be true that Shmuel says that a man's wife can always participate in the Erev on his behalf, whether it's like crucial or not crucial, kasha to Shmuel and Shmuel. We're going to have a stira within two statements of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel said, Achamine mavui, shiragil lishtatefim b'nei mavui. If one of the members of the Mavui is ragil to mishtate b'nei Mavui, so here we have to say that's the Mavui that he goes back and forth to. That's the Mavui that he's part of. He says v'lo nishtatef, and he didn't participate. B'nei Mavui nechasin toch beito, so the b'nei Mavui can enter his house. V'notlin shitufanvi menu b'al korcho, they can seize like food against his will. And the way Tosos learns, it means, but the wife is signing off on it. That's the key line. Tosos learns the wife is giving them rishus. So some Rishonim don't learn that way, but I'm going to learn the way Tosos learns that the wife is signing off on it. So, but the point being, ragil in, shein ragil lo. Only these ragil, and it was lo ragil lo. So it means there could be a situation where it's not clear that I need their participation. As I said, let's say I have a bayit and there's chatzer A and chatzer B, and so the bayit could decide to be part of chatzer A or chatzer B. So here it's saying ragil, in other words, like he normally does it with everything he does with that chatzer. That's it. So then they can come and they can force, if the wife signs off on it, according to Tosfos, they can sign off on it. So he says, Ragilin Shane Ragilo Shmamina. So Shmamina, we could deduce that that's a correct shot. Okay, let me just do a few more lines to the next Mishnah, and then I'll pause and we'll take some questions. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah Le, should I say that the following Braisa supports Shmuel? He says, Lema Messiah Le, Kofen Oto Lasot Lechi Vekora Lamavui, that we force him to make a lechi and a korah to a mavui, like we're forcing somebody to contribute for against his will, ostensibly, because he's an indispensable party, so we need him, so we're going to force him to participate for the lechi and the korah. The lechi and the korah is the physical, again, there's two parts to this, right? You have the partitions, and then lechi and the korah, you know, around with the Mavui. Remember, we did this at the beginning of the Masechta. I have the Lechi is the horizontal beam, and the Korah Lechi is the vertical beam, and the Korah is the horizontal beam at the entranceway to the Mavui. So I need that. And then, separate from that, I need everybody to participate with the food. So here we're saying, if we need somebody, he lives in the chatzer, and we need participation with lech in the korah, we can force him to do it on the turn page. So we think, just one minute, just give me 2 minutes, okay? So on the top line in Amud Beis, so we think the fact that we can force him to do it there, that shows that it's different when he's an indispensable party, just like with Shmuel. So with indispensable party, I can rely on the wife's consent. So the Gemara says, now this is a difficult line in the Gemara, the top line in Amud Beis, Shani Hatam Deleka Mechitzot. So the Gemara says that might not be a proof to what we were saying before, because now the way Rashi learns, the top line Rashi, and this Rashi isn't so simple, it says we're to understand what he means. Shani hatfon lech mechitzot, umavui megulahum, veino noach l'shomro, hilchach kofin oto. Rashi says that without the lechi or the korah, it's like an open, revealed mavui. It's not easy to guard. Now, it's hard to understand how guarding is easy with lechi or korah because it's just a beam. But Rashi is saying that for the mechitzot, we might require him to participate. But we might need his consent to carry. So it might be different to the partitions. Now, that's the way Rashi. Now, a different girsa is... what is it? There was a different girsa here. Not Mavui Megula. What was it? Mavui Meguna, right. I think it's the Ritva. So the Ritva holds that the girsa in Rashi is not Megula, but it's Meguna. It's like disgraceful that a Mavui doesn't have a Lechi or a Korah, but it's still hard to understand why that's so disgraceful with that. All right. Then Tosfos has a different girsa. Tosfos says, Shani Hatam De'ika Mechitza, that there is mechitza with this. And anyway, the basic idea Tosfos wants to say that there's a difference when building mechitza out for a mavoi versus getting the participation with the food. Anyway, so the bottom line is the Gemara wants to say that you don't have a proof from there. Now, let me just get to the next mission, then we'll pause, okay? Lishna Acharina. Now, this Lishna Acharina, so the Bach takes this out. In other words, if you read a Lishna Acharina mitzad shani, it's hard to understand what that means. So the Bach takes it out altogether, but then if you look in the Gra, he says bebeitin shani. Lishna Acharina bebeitin shani. In other words, it could mean that when they're talking about seizing the property, that means in a bezdin that they're seizing the property, not that they're going in and just like taking and things like that. So in which case, it's not at all comparable. All right, now let me just do a few more lines until the Mishnah, and then I'll pause. So Itmar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Osin Lechi Ashera. So Rav Chiya Barashi says we can make a lechi, which is the vertical beam from the Ashera, from the wood from the Avodah Zarah, even though it's Asur Bahana'ah. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Osin Korah Ashera. Reish Lakish says I can make the Korah, the cross beam, the horizontal beam from the Ashera tree. So Mandamar Korah Koshkein Lechi. The one who says the Korah certainly can be the Lechi, because the Korah has to support weight, at least theoretically. And he says, so certainly Lechi. Umandamar Lechi, the one who says I can make the Lechi of a Korah low, maybe not necessarily the Korah, because Chituti Michtat Shure. Meaning the Lechi could be any width, but it has to be a certain length. It has to be 10 tefachim high, but it could be any width. So that's not considered to get, like the Gemara learns, like the Asherah, it's chituti mechta shiure. It's like pulverized. It has no shiurim. So the Gemara takes it like the lechi, which is just a vertical beam, can be any width. So it doesn't really have a shiur in terms of its width. It has a shiur in terms of length, but not in terms of width. Whereas the korah, the cross beam, has a shiur in length and width, and it also has to be a certain thickness. It has to be able to support a brick. So there, where it has all those shiurim that are required, so if it's a shera wood, I could say it doesn't qualify, because a shera wood is asrbana, and I'm required to burn it, and I view it like chituti mechtat shiura, like all the shiurim, how does he translate it? He says pulverized, right, and it was like crushed, pulverized. All right, let me go back. So the two ideas that we discussed were that the Chazal said the wives can sign off on the Eruv. And the other thing was about this Ashera wood. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Fern?
Not directly related, but you need a Lechi or a Korah, right?
Right.
Is either one preferred over the other?
This is going back to the beginning of the Masechta.
I don't remember the answer.
Yeah, I don't know if one is preferred over the other.
I don't know if we ever discussed it.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the... I don't know if one is preferred over the other. I don't know. All right. What any other questions?
Yes.
All right.
how do you force someone to, or why would you need to force someone to join a Lechi or Korah? Just go put a Lechi Korah there. What does that mean? You need to force the guy to join?
Well, apparently, like they want you know, contributions from all the people in the Mavui to put up a lechi or a korah. I don't know that's what the case is. So they're saying that like I could force everybody.
But the guy can't hold me back from putting in lechi or korah. Correct.
The guy, say again. Repeat.
The guy, one of the guys in the chatzar, cannot hold me back from putting up a lechi
right,
or korah.
Right, but if we want contribution,
if you want him to chip in, then you could force him.
Then we can force him. That's the idea. All right. Everybody good? All right. I'm moving on. Now it's time for the Asherah. But Aaron Moshe, you still there, Aaron Moshe? Yeah. So I went over the Mishnah yesterday.
I'm here.
About the Asherah, there were three definitions in the Gemara. The Mishnah in the Masechet Avodah Zarah Memchet says, "What's an Asherah?" So the first definition is it's a tree that's worshipped. That's an Asherah. The second definition is if the person says he snips the tree and he says the growths are going to be the Asherah, then the growths are the Asherah. The third definition, which was subject to Machloket Tanayim, is the Asherah. There's Avodah Zarah beneath the Asherah. And it's like, it sounds like your pshat, but that was subject to Machloket Tanayim. In other words, so the Asherah isn't per se Avodah Zarah, it's just marking where the Avodah Zarah is, okay, which is right beneath it. All right.
Let me source for your whatever you said.
Right, yeah. So I said that meant Lasher, it's that Derek showed you the way to go to the
Yeah, so that, yeah, so the Chora.
Could be like the third definition a little bit.
It sounds like with the, working within that third pshat, but that third pshat is subject to Machloket Tanaim, and the Tana Reb Shimon doesn't hold from that third pshat. Okay, let's take a look for.
Wait, can you give an example of that third under the tree, something that is subject?
In other words, they have, this is really far afield from where we are, but this is like, in other words, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah plant the Avodah Zarah at the base of the tree. The tree is called an Asherah tree, marking off where the Avodah Zarah is. Okay, that's a third shot. Okay, all right, let's go further.
How many more years till Sanhedrin?
So this is Masechet Avodah Zarah. Masechet Avodah Zarah. Yeah, Masechet Avodah Zarah. That's around 3-4 years. It's at the end of the cycle. It's the after Nezikin. Okay.
So wouldn't that?
What? I can't hear you. What? You muted yourself, Ruth. You muted yourself when you don't want to mute yourself, and when you don't, you do. Go ahead.
Call me a wild one, right?
I don't know. I didn't call you a wild one. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't that duplicating it? If the Asherah tree is so named,
wait. Say again. Repeat.
You said the third example could also be that the Asherah tree is so named because of the Avodah Zarah beneath it.
No, I didn't say it was named for that. That Aaron Moshe saw a pshat that the Asherah is like Asherah Derech, it paves the way, it guides the way to the Avodah Zarah. So I'm saying within that third that his explanation works maybe better with the third pshat. Okay, I got to move on. This is really very far afield from where we're. We're in Eruvin now. Wait till Masechet Avodah Zarah, or you do it on your own. Okay, Avodah Zarah Memchet Amud Aleph 48a. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, the next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin, and now it's time to mute yourself, Ruth. Okay, so he says, okay, Manitin Nitma'ida Ochel. Now there's a certain amount of food which we're going to define that is requirement, a minimum shear food for the Shitufei Mavoot. So nitmaida ochel, if the food was reduced, I don't have the food, I don't know, disappeared before Shabbos, mosif umizake, then he's mosif if he wants to, and be mizake, he's giving the food on behalf of everybody. The ein sarich lahodia, and if he's taking their food to add on, he doesn't have to notify them. We'll see. Nitosfu alehan, if more people joined and moved into the chatzer, mosif umizake. So then he has to add if he's mizake. In other words, I could have shitu from a vote. Maybe I have the food. Maybe the food is staying for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and now people are moving into the neighborhood and things like that. So now I have to add more food based on the number of people who moved in. Or b'tzarech lodia, if I'm taking their food, I have to notify them that I took their food, and they have to sign off on it. Now, kamahu shiuran, what is the shear? How much food do I need? So he says, "Bizman shein merubin mazon shtei suudot lekulam." If there are many people, and we don't know what many people means, but the Gemara is going to explain 18 or more people. If there are 18 or more people, so then I max out as mazon shtei suudot. In other words, enough food for two meals, which is really going to come out. It comes out to grogeret from each one. A dried fig from each person is 18 grogrot. 18 grogrot is enough food for two meals. That's the way it's coming out. He says, "Bizman shei muatin, if it's less than 18 people, kigrogeret l'chol echad b'echad. I need like the size of a dried fig for each person." Amar Rabbi Yosi, b'amed v'amurim b'tchilat eruv. He says, Rabbi Yosi says that's at the beginning of the eruv. Now, b'tchilat eruv means it means at, when I'm beginning the first shitufim yavod with this, aval b'shari eruv kol shehu. Afterwards, I can have a kol shehu. V'lo amru la reiv b'chatzerod el kadei shlosh lakach etino kot. Now, when we had this already before. When I'm doing shitufim yavod, the only reason I require at that point a reiv b'chatzerod is so the children don't forget that I need a Ruve Chatzerov. There's no Shitufim Avod. In other words, Shitufim Avod covers the whole area and all the Chatzerov. So I technically shouldn't even require the Ruve Chatzerov, but I only require the Ruve Chatzerov just so the children don't forget that, like, there is something in place if I want to carry my Chatzer. It's not, you know, ipso facto, like, you know, it goes, you know, automatically. All right. Any questions on the Mishnah?
What does Rabbi Yossi hold?
So Rabbi Yossi says, he says we only require the right amount of food b'tchilat eruv, at the beginning of the first eruv. Then I need the right amount of food. Well, b'shiari eruv, it sounds like it's even afterwards, like for future weeks, if I'm using the same amount of food, it sounds like. He says, if you look at footnote 18, he says, once she's been in effect, he says it remains valid if the low required amount, as long as even a minute portion remains.
Meaning he doesn't hold, you need to add anything after the first week?
That's the way it sounds like. That's why, and he might
10 other people join in.
Yeah, he might be cholik with the Tanakama on this. You see, there might be, see, the Tanakama said in Maida Ochel means before Shabbos, but the Tanakama might disagree with Rabbi Akiva. It might be Makloka Tanaim.
Tanakama said you need to add.
You could interpret the Tanakama that way. In other words, the Tanakama could mean if the food was less before the first Shabbos, or the Tanakama could mean before any Shabbos, in which case, then there's a machloket time. All right. But I'd have to look into it. I got to look into that more. Yeah, what's up?
Okay, I have a question. Let's say that I have a house in a courtyard, and it's me, my wife, and three kids.
Does anyone share the chatzer with you?
It's me, my wife, and three kids.
Anyone else?
No, it's just my family.
You don't have to do anything.
No, I don't have to put in one piece for each person.
No, you don't have to do anything.
Okay.
Your kids are they're adult children or
right? What? Let's just say they're all over the age of bar mitzvah.
It's your chatzer.
In other words, if it's your family and you're supporting the kids, then you don't need any Eruve chatzerot. If there are other homes that share the same chatzer, that's when you get into the issue of Eruve chatzerot.
Right, but let's just say that the latter situation. Do I have to put in something for every family member, or can it just be the head of the household covers everybody?
So I think it's the head of the household would cover everybody, I think. I think the head of the household. All right, let's see further. All right, now.
Can I ask you something?
Who's this? Who's speaking now?
That's Oded.
Oded. Okay, yeah, well, let me hear. What do you got, Oded? Could you like to see? Can you make your picture available?
No, but there's a lot. It's a lot of mess here behind. But
I don't care about the mess. I'd like to just see the person. Let me just see you.
Okay. Yeah, it's when I see that it's really me. Well, how do I do this? Okay. Yeah, it's really me.
Okay, that looks fine. No, what do you got for me, Oded?
No, I just said based on the last thing you said is that today we only use shitufei mevot. We don't do shitufei chatzerot.
No, that's not what I said.
Today.
No. That's not what I said. I said that the Tana of the Mishnah holds that shitufei mevot really covers you for the chatzerot as well. But notwithstanding that, you have to make a Ruvi Chatzeret as well. And the only
that's for the Tana, you know, I'm talking about today.
Today that
we, yeah.
Yeah, so today we really, like, we don't have Mavoot per se today. In other words, most of what we do is really a Ruvi Chatzeret is really what we do. In other words, like, I don't think we have, like, Mavuis the way they had Bizman Chazal. So I think what we do is a Ruvi Chatzeret today, as far as I'm aware. All right. In other words, like the Erev here in Greinich, we're doing a Ruvei Chatzeret. All right.
It's Chatzeret, okay.
I believe. Okay, let's take a look back in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, we're on the 10th line down on Peyam and Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says, now in the first halach in the Mishnah was that if going with the Tanakam, if then Maida Ochel Mosifu Mizaka, so I'm going to add on to it and I don't have to notify anybody. I don't have to notify anybody. So, b'mayaskinan ilim b'minachad. If we're talking about the, in other words, the same min. In other words, let's say everybody gave figs, everybody gave dates, whatever they were giving, and now we have less than the amount we're supposed to required. My yirin is mine. I feel kalanami. So, even if the whole thing disappeared, I don't have to tell anybody about that. In other words, we're focusing on b'tzarich lahodio. In other words, let's say everybody had contributed dates, you know, for this shitufei mavoot. And now the dates have gone down or they got eaten or whatever. So I have a green light to take further dates from people without even notifying them. In other words, they're on the page, dates for Shitufei Mavoot. So when the Mishnah says that it's only Nitmaid HaOchel, it doesn't sound like it's, in other words, saying Nitmaid HaOchel, I have to do it. But if it's minachad, so even if it's kala, even if it's all even more extreme, then I don't need to. Then I feel kala nami, then I don't have to notify anybody. So ela b'shnei minim. So if it's two minim, I feel it my nami lo. So then if it's then within one second. Yeah, let me go. So again, so he says, I don't have to notify them. So if it's the same men, even if it's totally, you know, finished off, so I it's not just if it's less, it's even if it's totally finished off, I don't have to notify you. And if it's two minim, in other words, the first was dates, and now I want to use figs, he says, I feel it's my namilo. So even it's my, I can't go ahead and take your food without notifying you. Means, you're sharing the chatzeh with me. You've agreed that we're going to have, or the shitufei mavoot. You've agreed that we're going to do shitufei mavoot dates. Now the date level went down, so we have to replenish it. So I could take more dates from you. In other words, you signed on to the date program, so I could take more dates from you, even if the date disappeared. So it's more than what the Mishnah says. So it's not just nitmai, even if it's finished off. And if it's a different thing, now I had dates. Now I want to have figs. So then, even if it's not mine, I have to notify you. That's the question. So he says, El b'shemin, I'm feeling in mine, nami lo. Tatani, we learn the brisa, kalaha oichel mi minachad, if the food got extinguished and was got used up from one min, ain't sarich lo dia. I don't have to notify anybody I'm taking more dates from them because they already, like, signed on to their program. You know, I'm agreeable to the date she tufei mavoot. He says, mishnei minim, if it was two different minim, first we had dates, now I want to change it over to figs or something like that, sarich lo dia. I do have to notify. So the Mishnah doesn't seem to fit in exactly right. The Mishnah says, if it goes down, I have to notify you. But if it's the same in, even more than that, even if it's totally finished, I have to, if it goes down, I don't have to notify you. But if it's the same in, then even if it's finished, I don't have to notify you. And if it's a different min, then I always have to notify you. So the Gemara says, I could say the Mishnah is talking about one min or two minim. I could say it's from one min, mind it might, nit mat mate. It says, what does the Mishnah mean when it might? Nit mat mate means it goes down, but it means nit mat mate, it crumbled. In other words, there's nothing left. So indeed, that's what the Mishnah is saying. If I had I'm using the same min, it was dates, and all the dates got consumed, so I can replenish the dates from all of you without notifying you. That's what the Mishnah is teaching me. He says, v'ibayit eima b'shnei minim, or I can say the Mishnah is talking about two minim. I had dates, now I want to change over to figs. He says, but kala shani. So it's not the way we thought before. Before we thought that if it's two minim, I always have to get your assent to it. So the Gemara is saying, no, I do need your assent. Let me see what he says here. 1 second, give me 1 second. He says, yeah, that when the Braisa said that I need approval with two minim, it means if it totally got, you know, used up. But if it went down a little bit, let's say it went down, the date level went down, now I want to replenish it with figs, I don't need your approval for that either. That would be the other way to go with it. All right.
Why not? He never agreed for the second fruit.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what the...
He agreed to figs. He never agreed.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can say is that maybe we figure that people would go along if it's just a little bit, but not if it's a lot. Otherwise, I don't know what the svara would be.
So if it's completely gone, a new food, you got to ask the guy. If it's just a little, you don't need his permission.
Right, right.
What? Why does it make any difference if he switches from one to another? I don't get that.
Well, I presumably maybe the people are machpid, you know, what food you're taking from them, and they don't like the sharing the other food or something like that. That would be.
Yeah, but isn't the whole concept that you want to establish an eruv so you can move around in an area? Why would it make any difference what you put in there?
In other words, it requires the consent of the residents in the mavui.
Now this I get. What I don't get is why would it make any difference if he switches?
So
you still want to have an eruv.
No, but it means the people have to sign off on it. So if they signed off on dates, we know they're good with dates. But now we're shifting over to figs.
Right, I can't just come and take your food.
Maybe the figs, they don't mind, you know, get your, you know, your cotton picking hands off my figs. You know,
they won't have an eruv. So what good does that do?
That's the thing.
No sense to me.
No, it means my figs. I don't like my sharing figs with everybody. So shift it over to figs. Okay, let's take a look.
Talking about one Shabbos, or is this for the next Shabbos?
So it depends on what their agreement is. You know, it's obviously set up before Shabbos, and they could set it up for all the Shabbos of the year. But the thing is, if it's two different minim, so the people may not. In other words, maybe, you know, they're more of an agricultural society than we are, and there's different minim. So I'm very protective of my figs. My dates I don't care about. So dates I'm good with, figs not. Something like that. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, Nitosfu Aleyan Mosif and Mazaka Bahule. We said if there are more residents that move into this, you know, Mavui, so I need more food. So Amrav Shezvi, Amrav Chisa, Zoromered, Chalukin Lev Chavirav al Rabbi Yehuda. So from this, Mishnah means that there's a machloket with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Titan, because we learn in the Mishnah, Amrav Yehuda, Bamedro Murim, Beirubi Tchumin, Aval Beirubi Chatzerot, Ma'arvin, Bein Ladad, Obein Shlo Ladad. So, okay, 1 second. Give me 1 second with this. 1 second. Yeah. So we said that the new residents, we said in the Mishnah, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, where is it? It says,
if new guys came in, you got to let them.
Yeah, but Sarich Lahodia, right. So we said in the third line of the Mishnah, if it's new residents, I have to notify them. Presumably, if I'm taking their food, I have to notify them if it's new residents. So now back in the Gemara. So that sounds like it's a machloka with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Tadan, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, but me'am murim be'iruvei tchumin. According to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, I need the consent when it comes to eruvei tchumin. He says, giving consent. He says, aval be'iruvei chatzerod, when it comes to eruvei chatzerod, ma'arvin bein ladad, bein shlo ladad. In other words, it could be with knowledge, your knowledge and consent or not. So the Gemara says, "Pshita the chalukin." Obviously, this is machloket. Our Mishnah says, "I need the lahodia," and that says, "Bein ladad, bein shlo ladad." So ma'u detema hanimili bechatzer shebein shnei mevoot. So I could have thought like this, that our Mishnah is talking about a chatzer which is between two mavuis. So the people who are new. Right. So in other words, they have a choice between joining Mavui A or Mavui B. So it's not necessarily a benefit for them to be, you know, it's like they could join either shul. So if I'm taking their food for Mavui A, maybe they don't want to be involved with Mavui A. They want to be involved with Mavui B. So they get a choice. They could just choose which Mavui they want to be involved with. So I might have thought that's why I have to be Modia to them. Aval chatzer shel mavui acher eimalo. But if it's chatzer of another mavui, he says the chatzer opens. In other words, only echad. I'm sorry. Aval chatzer shel mavui echad. If it's a chatzer only opens one mavui eimalo. So I would say there, I don't even have to notify them. I'm like, you know, drafting them into this eruv. So kamashmalan. So that's what he's teaching me, that that's not the correct shot. Indeed, there is a machloket between them whether I need to have their knowledge and consent or not. All right. So according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, I need their knowledge and consent, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't. All right. Let me next piece now. Kamu shiro b'chulei. We said, how much food do I need? So the So we said if it's meruba, I need mazal m'shlo two sudot. Kamu merubin. Am Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel shmona esrei b'nei adam. So Shmuel says 18 people. So shmona esrei b'tulo 18, not more than that. So ema mishmona esrei b'elach. 18 and going up. Umay shmona esrei dinakat. Why does he mention 18? What's the significance of 18? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'reid Rabbi Yehuda ledidi mafarsh l'minei de abba. It was personally explained to me by my father, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Kol she'ilu mechalko l'mazon shtei su'urot b'neihen. Ve'imagad grogeret l'chol achav yechad hein hein merubin. If I divide up the food and there's less than a grogeret to each person, that's meruba. In other words, 18 people, I get exactly a grogeret. More than that, I get less than a grogeret. So merubim, in other words, once I hit the ceiling of two sudot, then two sudot covers me no matter how many people there are. Bisaki mazon shtei sudot. V'ilo, if there aren't 18 people, muatininu, they're small. But agavurche k'mashvalan shtei sudot havin shmona esrei grogrot. So two sudot is 18 grogrot, which I think comes out to, I think, six beitzim, I think. So the idea is, if there's, you know, at a certain point in time, I max out at the food. So mazon shtei sudot will carry me through no matter how many people there are. If it's less than 18 people, then I'm entitled to use like a grogeret for each person, a dried fig, or the equivalent amount of food. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
The max you need for a lot of people is two sudot.
Right.
Two sudot.
Right. All right. Now, the next Mishnah. So according to Tana Reb Lezer, I can make anything with an Eruvei Chatzerot or Shituva Mavot with anything except for water and salt, according to Tana Reb Lezer. All right. Rabbi Shua Omer, Kikar Hu Eruv. Rabbi Shua says the Eruv has to be a loaf of bread. Afilu Ma'afei Sa'av Hu Prusa Ema Arvin Ba. Even if it's like the size of a sa'a, in other words, I made like this humongous loaf of bread, and then I have a slice of it, he says, I can't make an eruv with it. And it sounds like, is the slice one sa'a? What he says, right, he says, right, even if the loaf was baked from a sa'a flour, which is a tremendous amount, and then I take a slice of it, that's not good for an eruv. He says, kikar ki'isar v'ushalema arvimbo. If I have a whole loaf, and the whole loaf is the size of an Isar, an Isar is a coin, so then I could be Ma'ariv with it. It's a complete one. But it has to be a grogeret for each person, the size of a grogeret for each person. All right.
What are we talking about here?
So the simple pshat, I'm going to say, a Ruvei Chatzerot. It could be that it might be, the simple pshat is to say Ruvei Chatzerot.
That's what we're talking about here.
Simple pshat, a Ruvei Chatzerot and Shituva Mavot. But one second. You see, if you look in, let me see the Rashi. Not here. All right, that's the simple pshat.
Okay. What's the not simple pshat?
Yeah, I think they want to say it could be about a Ruvei Tchumen. I need to look a little bit more. Okay. All right. But I'm going to go with a Ruvei Chatzerot. All right. Okay, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? All right. So learning tonight was L'Ilui Neshama of Yosef Rachmani's grandmother, Bakhtia Bat Yitzchak Zichrona Lebracha. All right, let me end the recording.